And play my guitar, I'm ready. Gonna change the world, gonna turn the page, gonna say what I feel, let out this rage. Get ready, we're going down, down the street below. Gonna sing the songs of the streets again. Gonna be on my feet to get ready. I'll sing a song for the fallen angels. This will go. Down the streets, play low. Cause don't you know,
It's a band out of Australia called Split System. Song is called End of the Night off of Volume 2. Just came out in, I think, a few weeks ago. Split System was the name of that band. Social Distortion started with I Wasn't Born to Follow off of Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll. It's 805 WMFO in Medford. Rick Barton is going to be calling in hopefully about 8:15 to 8:16. Game specific times. The call-ins are always, we'll see what happens. But I'm going to play some new songs now. I'm going to play three more songs, and hopefully we'll babble a bit, and Rick will be calling in. But this is brand new stuff by Jennifer Teft and The Strange. That's the name of the band. Here we go.
let you down. We did it my way, now let's try it your way. I wish that we could just get along. We'll make a mountain out of a molehill. You think the answer is so out of reach. I watch your lips move, I see the teardrops. I love the way that they stain your sheets. But I can't hear you, or I don't listen. That is the thing I do. That is not love, it's just a loneliness. I'm so glad that you moved on. 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 I'm so glad that you moved on.
Thank you.
All right, that was Saw the Light, Rick Barton, off of Nowhere Man. And before that, he's in a band with his son called Continental. So we played something that, State of Maine, off their release called Hello. Rick has been in this scene for a long time, and he might just be calling in now. So give me a minute. We're going to try and pick this up and get a hold of him. Rick.
Skybar.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just got to Franklin, Tennessee, and I tuned in real quick.
You're good. You're good. This is perfect timing.
Well, you know, I've learned in life to try to be prompt. It's taken a long time, but I got there.
Getting there is the important part. You know, it's a journey with a lot of things in life. But getting there, as long as you get there, and you got there, yeah. So, you were on before, about a year ago, and we talked a lot about the Murphys, the Outlets, Everybody Out, Shadow Blasters. And so we're not going to do that tonight, because we don't have the time. But that was, by the way, that was one of my favorite interviews of all time when you came in.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was did a great job. But we're going to, and as you know how I feel about all your music, but we're going to focus today about Nowhere Man and Coming Home, your newest releases.
Okay.
And
I have stories.
I know you got stories. So, like, you've been in a lot of bands, and this is your first, so to speak, I guess you'd call it solo efforts. I mean, there are other musicians, obviously, on them. I mean, it was Rick Barton and the Shadow Blasters, but this is more stripped down. Like, what led you to put these out?
Are we on the air right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello, everybody. Well, here's what happened.
We're live.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, Continental, and by the way, thank you for playing our music. Boy, that State of Maine, I'm a grave man. It's like, it's weird when you're recording everything, you don't listen to your own music.
Yep.
You know, you might put it on like every 10 years or something just to say, wow, you know, how did that sound? But then I heard it and I was like, wow, that came out good.
Just, oh, yeah.
Kind of how I wanted it to come out. But anyway, so we were kind of on hiatus and just, we had, like, toured for about 9 years straight, and the band was just kind of, like, burnt out from doing that. So we were on a break anyway, and it didn't matter. I went into the studio, to Dave Western's studio, essentially to catalog some songs. In fact, I asked him to send me the song list the other day, and we're up to 45 songs.
Wow.
And and when I get back at the beginning of next month, I'm going in to record 16 more. And the initial thing was just to sit down with my acoustic guitar, sing and play as many songs as I could in 2 days. And mm-hmm. And after the first, he wanted me to play to a click track, which I didn't really want to do,
yeah,
because that's really difficult for me, but I did it. Anyway, after the first night, because I heard that you played Saw the Light,
yeah,
I got back to my hotel room, and I was like, wait a second, this is sounding like a record. Yeah, I know he wanted me to play a click track for a reason, but we didn't have the intent of making a record. But the one thing I thought of when I got back to the hotel room was, oh, man, I don't have a closer, and like an album closer. Saw the Light, and I'm old school, so I'm into the whole, like, as if anyone's going to actually listen to your whole album from track 1 to 12. They don't do that anymore, and I realize that, but it doesn't matter because, you know,
I do. I still do. I love it.
You do. You're old school, too. But, you know, when I'm in the nursing home someday, I'll be able to put on the record and listen to the whole thing.
Right.
You go, wow, that was a pretty good thing. So I got to my hotel room and I said, I don't have an album closer because I'm really into album closers. I must go back to my youth of listening to old bands, and they always had an album closer.
Sure.
And then the problem was, so I started hearing the song Saw the Light in my head. But I didn't have a guitar because I had left my two acoustic guitars in the studio. So I literally, the night before I recorded it, I wrote the whole song. Well, it came to me, and the lyrics, and I had a melody line, and I went in the studio the next day, and I picked up the guitar, and boom, the song was done. It wrote itself right in the studio. And
wow.
That was essentially what we were doing, was cataloging my songs. I don't know. I think it might be some kind of end-of-life thing where I want to get everything down for posterity.
Yeah, a sense of urgency. I got to get this out. I got to get all this stuff out, right?
and thanks to you, man, you made the suggestion to Lou about my solo project, and Luke kind of knew about it, but he was so busy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he called me up, and he goes, what's this stuff Skybar's bragging
about? Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, I've recorded 2 full albums already, and there are more in the works, but would you be interested? And he said, of course I would. And then I sent him the 2 records, and he seemed to really love the song, so I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, and we got the job done. And
yeah.
Those 2 records are available as of March 1st.
Yeah, I was talking to Lou, and
he
said that he loved Dime on a Dime, or about the Dime song. He loved the Dime song from way back, I guess. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess at the time, though, he didn't have the Shadow Blaster stuff, but he loved that song, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we plan on releasing a, hopefully some kind of retrospective remastered with additional tracks, or additional Shadow Blasters tracks next year. It'll be 25 years. Unbelievable. But
great stuff.
Because we put that stuff out in 2000, and I have this vault of material from the Shadow Blasters. And so that's something we're going to try to put together. I mean, this I keep calling it end of life. I'm really not sure how much longer I'm going to be around.
No, it's true.
But it's fun. It's fun working on stuff, you know, and projects and putting it together. I really like doing it, enlisting different musicians to help out and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of what the one thing that we as writers and musicians and, you know, one thing that we can control, that we have the power to determine the outcome, is our music and what we do with it, you know. And it's kind of a good feeling, because it's not easy. It's not easy to get a tour. It's not easy to get on a label. It's not easy to get a gig anymore.
I mean, well, your stuff resonates.
Your
stuff resonates with people. I think it always has. How you've told me before, but how did you first get hooked up with Rumbar and Lou?
Well, I mean, I had known that Lou had this thing going on, but like I said, we were kind of on hiatus, and finally I was like, let's do something. But my initial, do you want to know when I first met Lou? It was unbelievable. The guy practically accosted me at the Somerville Theater. We had played a show backing up Cheap Trick, the Shadow Blasters.
Oh, okay.
One of the shows.
Yep, I remember that.
And Lou was like, I love that song, A Dime.
Okay.
You know, and he was like, he was just great. He had this incredible energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you meet those high-energy people, as long as they're not too messed up, you know what I mean? When they're messed up, it's no fun. But he wasn't messed up. He was just enthusiastic, and he was great. And I was like, wow, this guy's incredible. I said to my son, Stephen, because Stephen was at the show, and I go, you see this guy over here? He loves one of the songs.
Yeah,
he's a wild man, and I've always loved Lou, so you know, it seemed like a natural fit.
Yeah, and talk about the other musicians on these on Nowhere Man and Coming Home, because you have just you; you got people in there.
Oh yeah, and so it was Dave Westner did all the engineering, recorded everything, and then he went and played drums to all the songs. And I was like,
okay,
he sent me the tracks, and I was like, man. I loved them so much. I kind of wanted to put them up with just acoustic guitar, drums, and lead vocal, because they were really stripped down and they just sounded great. And I actually have them still in that format, but I knew it needed more once I had decided that it was going to be something we put out. I wasn't quite that indulgent to put out a record sounding like that. So I contacted Steven, my son, and he passed. I go, you don't want to play? He says, no, find someone else. He goes, get Paul Yu, he'll play the bass. And so I called up Paul Yu, who plays guitar in Continental.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he can play the bass too, but instead he enlisted his friend Sam. I've never met Sam. I don't know what he looks like. All I know is he's the smoothest, coolest bass player on the planet, and I love what he did with it. So Sam played bass, and Paul played one lead guitar track. That was my one thing that I really wanted, to keep it very stripped down. I didn't want to sound cluttered. I just, I all, you know, in the past I've done a lot of that, you know, 20 tracks of guitars and heavy, and I'm all for that, you know, and some bands do it great, like Social Distortion and Green Day.
Yeah, I played them at the top of the hour, Social.
Yeah.
I love Social Distortion.
That's why they came to mind, and but anyway, but I just didn't want that. I wanted to be really clean, like something that sounded like Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Know, just, and those guys just knocked it out of the park, and they kept going. And, you know, I'm about to send them 16 more songs. Paul, if you're listening, be prepared.
I know, huh?
That's the modern world now. It's the first time that I heard, I forget which Wilco album it was, but I was reading about it. It might have been A Ghost Is Born. I'm not sure what album, but, and they were talking about, I think it was an interview with the drummer, and he was talking about, like, oh, no, we didn't even see each other for the whole record.
Yes.
And I was like, wow. And to me, that sounded so foreign at the time, but now I realize that that's the way to go. Then you don't have to, you know, deal with anyone. People don't have to sit around waiting for the other person to do their thing, you know, and it's just a, so when it's just a convenience, and it can be done that way now with all the modern technology. So a person can just sit in their room and jam out to, you know, to the basic tracks and put it on the computer, and it's right over to you. It's great.
Yeah, there are local, I think Sal Baglio and Dan Kopko got together for did, I think they called it the Peppermint Kicks. And I don't think they were never in the same room at the same time. So, yeah, it can be done. And there's a band, Locusts and Canyons and Locusts, two-piece. One is in here in Boston. The other one's out in L.A. You know, so they send the music to each other. They send files. I don't know, you know. So, yeah, it's the modern world. That's what they do nowadays.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what.
And this is gonna this is going to be a trilogy. Is that right?
Yeah, the third one will be out in the fall, and we're presently...
But there's more to come.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like the story isn't over.
No, the story never ends, and the third one is going to be absolutely killer, because the reason I know that is because I've been rehearsing it day after day after day, and fine-tuning and fine-tuning, and I really have a good feeling about it. I think some of the songs are going to be incredible. It's going to be a little heavier, like a little more rocking. It's still going to be the, you know, Americana folky, for lack of countryish tunes, like four. But then there's going to be some straight up like anthemic rock songs on the record. But it won't sound rocking. Like it's not going to, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's going to be driving and powerful and very impactful. It just won't be layered guitars like beating your head in.
Right.
But it'll be really. I think it's going to be great, because I've been working on it on my acoustic guitar, just playing songs over and over. Like I really work.
Oh, I know.
Best record I can make.
I know you.
Like, I don't fool around.
You write not constantly, but pretty much. You do a lot of writing, and you hone your craft. So yeah, you're good.
Thank you very much, Sky Bob.
You're
Thank
good.
You for recognizing that.
Oh, I see it, and I'm a weirdo with the CDs, with the physical. So I'm going to ask about the photos. Were you on a pier? Was someone on a pier? Where was that shot?
That's so interesting. Yeah. That was on an iPhone. That was like
random.
It was on Martha's Vineyard.
Okay.
And me and my old dog Brutus were walking down the pier, and the girl that I kind of sing all my songs with, the one who broke my heart, she took that picture.
Really?
And just in case she's listening, I don't want to mention her, because
we'll keep that discreet.
We're still friends and everything. It's all cool.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just saved that picture in my phone. She sent it to me. I didn't even know she had taken it. And
wow.
I just always loved that picture. And somehow, Yosef, who was our design person, he was able to make that look pretty good as an album cover.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. We're trying to get it incorporated into a T-shirt.
We haven't
had great success yet, but I think, like, Yosef is working on that design. And, yeah, so that's where that cover came from. I had just saved that cover for, like, 10 years in my phone. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be the cover. I had just saved the photo for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I was, like, coming home on the pier with the dog.
See, I ask about things like that. No one asks you about the cover of the the CD. But I really dig physical products, whether it's vinyl, CDs, and the photography. I like all that stuff. So that's why I wanted to ask about that.
You have a physical copy?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have Nowhere Man. I think I do. Or maybe it's just I've seen pictures. Lou.
Yeah, you've seen pictures. The CDs are supposed to be coming in any day now.
Oh, okay. So I must, if Lou doesn't have it, then I guess I don't have it. I've seen the picture though. And I know it would be on, you know, so he's like, okay, this is the back of one of the CDs. I don't know if it's Coming Home or Nowhere Man.
So you liked that picture?
Loved it. Yeah.
Well, because I loved it too. I loved it 10 years ago, but I never thought I would use it.
Who knew, right?
I always kept it stored in my phone, and then the moment came. It fit the title of the album perfectly, and like, man, there it is.
How cool is that you got to use it?
I know.
Right? Who knew?
And I called my ex-girlfriend and I said, how do you want me to, put your name? Because she remarried and everything. Mm-hmm. She told me how to, what I should put down and stuff like that. So she got a photo credit. Anyway.
No, that's great. And I have to ask if... Yeah, I noticed that stuff.
You can ask me anything.
I probably noticed that to a fault. But I notice all these little details on albums. Any plans? I got to ask you if you're going to do anything live with this. If you're going to bring this, if you're going to play anywhere to support this. Because I know that's been something you're kind of unsure about.
Well, we're working right now to set up a European tour in the fall. And contacted agents and some of the different promoters that I've worked with in the past. So that's in the works.
With the solo stuff, or Continental.
Oh, yeah, with the solo stuff. Yeah. It's going to be Rick Barton. Because I have a slightly recognizable name, and it kind of paves the way to at least be able to go play pubs and, break even, which is basically what we do when we tour. And that's fine with me, and I love being in Europe. But, of course, we'll do a few local shows before we embark on that tour. See, all my musicians
I'm glad
from
to hear
out
it.
Of town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do, something in Portland, something in Boston, something in Providence, before we hit the road. So I'm excited to do that.
Bands always do, not always, but a lot of local bands do so much better over in Europe. It's funny, but yeah, you got to go where the people want to see you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still... Like I said, it's a break-even proposition for the most part, unless you're a bigger band.
Right.
And then you're going to, when a band is self-supporting, they have to make a lot of money to do it. But for small bands like what I do, it's great. Because you'll go to some village in the middle of Germany and you pull into this little pub or restaurant or something, and next thing you know, there's 200 people at the show, and you're like, whoa, where did all these people come from?
Right.
And the promoters take so much pride in the shows that they put on. They give you these incredible meals and great housing and everything. And they're excited and they're enthusiastic. They're people like you and Lou. They're not jaded. And, you have a few bummer shows, of course. But for the most part, the promoters over there really make sure that people come out and you have a great show. So...
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I will definitely, catch that when you're playing live in this area. But there's a listening party going on.
Yeah, we've never tried anything like that.
Nor has Lou, I guess. I think this is a rumba first, too, from what I hear.
Yeah, he had mentioned it, and then I reminded him of it, and he's like, yo, and he did a little more research, and he's like, let's do that. I've been sending out private invites, and... Half the people, they obviously they don't open it. And they say, oh, I'd love to be there, but I'm out of town. I'm not going to be around.
So right.
I get back to them. I go, no, it's not like that. Like we used to do, upstairs at the Rat.
Right.
A listening party. It's like you can do it on your computer or your phone. And so I change my little message that I send out when I'm inviting people to let them know that it's right online and, to join in. So, that's going to be 6 Eastern time Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to reveal something else?
And you'll answer any questions people have.
Oh, any questions.
I know you will. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. You reveal away if you got some. Yeah.
This is a pretty big reveal. I've only told a couple of people like really close to me. So anyway, I'm in Franklin, Tennessee right now. I just arrived at my friend Andrew and Karen's place, and Andrew plays drums in Continental.
Mm-hmm.
But my old band.
Oh, cut it out!
Town Thursday night, and not only will I be joining them on stage, but my brother Dave from the
will also
be joining. Oh yeah. So I'm going to try to figure out how to.
That's tease, though, because I can't see it up here.
I know, but I'm going to try to. So it's going to be like a little outlet thing in Dropkick Murphys.
Record it up.
Andrew will be able to help me do the live reel and all that stuff. So it'll be on my Facebook feed. And
when's this going down?
In 2 nights.
2 nights.
Thursday night. I don't know if we're going to go to sound check and practice or not. God. I think they get to town on Wednesday.
Yeah, you got to do something with that. That's got to be saved or recorded or something. You can't just bang that out and have not go out to the ethers. That's got to get out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, the outlets don't play anymore.
I know.
Our last show
was
January of 2019 for the Chris Doherty benefit of
the Paradise, right. Yeah.
And my brother doesn't want to do it, and I don't want to do it anymore just because.
Yeah, well, he's lives in Nash. He's not around here anymore, is he, David? Dave, he's...
No. Right. He's in mostly in Nashville.
Yeah.
Now, but it's not that we're adverse to, what we once had. It's just that...
No, yeah, I get it.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I get it. People want to... You move on. You don't forget or appreciate, but you do want to move to another thing sometimes. I get it. Yeah.
But this would be pretty cool because...
No doubt.
Kenny sent me a video of them doing an outlet song from their rehearsal space, and then we kind of put the thing together, and so it could be a lot of fun. You know? And I'm just so I'll figure out over the next.
You got to.
When we get in there, I'll figure out how to get that up.
Yeah.
For people to see, because I know people love seeing my brother play, and obviously he'll be singing.
It was magic. The outlets, you and him were magical. Yeah, I want to see that.
Yep.
Hear it, see it, something.
I know we weren't going to talk about all my past stuff, but that's one I just had to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of excited to do it. It's going to be
fun. I'm excited to do it. I'm not even involved. I got to let you go because, as we discussed, our show, and we could talk for hours, but, hey. Maybe next time I have you around.
4 hours.
I should. But I'm going to play a couple more tracks of your stuff. I got to squeeze in some local stuff that I promised people I'd play. But, Rick, always a pleasure, man.
Okay, thank you very much for having me on. And I will get in touch with you, and I'll pass along the details. And all people have to do is check out my Facebook page over the next 2 days, and I'll figure out how to get this performance of me and my brother playing with the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I got to go on that note.
Okay.
All right,
man.
Talk
to you
later, man. Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. That's some big news right there. But, yeah, clock's ticking. I'm going to play a couple more of Rick's stuff. And this is another one from Nowhere Man.
Mean. I finally breathe. setting off sirens and alarms. The boys all thought she was so pretty. She had that special kind of charm. To empty arms. She always had someone to hold her, but love to her was just a yarn. She'll be the one, she'll be the one, she'll be the one wearing that crown. She'll be the one, she'll be the one, she'll be the one.
That was Rick Barton off of Coming Home. The song was called Crown of Thorns. And before that, we played more Rick Barton, the Man from Nowhere, off of the Nowhere Man release. Once again, they will both be available on Rumbar Records very shortly. Listening party, March 1st at 6 p.m. I want to thank Rick once again for calling in. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Said I was going to play a lot of new stuff tonight. Just heard some, and here's some more. This is new stuff by The Magic City.
Your like I'm already on my own. How many times did I tell you I'm okay for you to really hear what I say? Just feels like you don't really care at all. How many times will I look the other way? You just keep on treating me like I'm always here to stay.
Right, WMFO in Medford, listening to Rising with Skybar. Just heard Evil Felipe with their new release, Forever and a Day. That's the latest single. Manx with Fall Guy, that was off of the Cloistered Order. And the Magic City with their newest single called A Series of Chemicals. I'm in a stall now, because I have a 3-minute song left. This is how it works at MFO. You want to try to time it so that the people coming in are synced in pretty close to when your show ends. So I'm trying to stretch this for another, 15 seconds. Not a big deal. I can do it. I want to thank Rick Barton once again for calling in out of, somewhere in Tennessee, I believe it was, for his releases Coming Home and Nowhere Man, which will both be available on Rumbar Records very shortly. There's a listening party March 1st. Go to his Facebook page, Rick Barton. You can find out the details. But I think I've lollygagged enough. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. These are the Hot Drops. See you next week. Thanks. Just become another lesson that I learned. Somehow.